dedicated weekly source for the best and latest of Chinese and Korean pop music, as well as indie music, Asian entertainment news, and special features of talented Canadian artists. Every Wednesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. for CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another installment, another show of your dedicated weekly source for some of the best and latest in Asian music and entertainment news, Asian Wave 101 for CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Steve Zhang, live in the city of Vancouver from the UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. I hope you're all having a fantastic day because I'm having a good day and I want you to have a good day too. So today we're going to start with something a little bit different. It's something that really is a long time coming, something that I've never really, I never really done too much of in the past, but recently felt like it was about time I gave this a try. It's about time I did something a little bit different for the listeners, and I had a chance to sit down with Rael, a very talented singer-songwriter and producer based right here in Vancouver. I should mention that he is a rapper too. So I had a chance to meet up with him and we talked a little bit about his past, his journey through music, his latest project, what you can expect from him within the next little while. And overall, it was just a really, really good talk. I really got a chance to get to know one of the artists that I play here on that I play on the show that you have heard before, and it's always a lot of fun to just listen and hear about their thoughts and their creative process and what really goes into making the music that we enjoy so much. So here's a portion of that chat that I had with singer-songwriter, rapper, and producer Rael. Now I say a portion because we did end up talking for a very, very long time, but nonetheless, here is the interview that I did with Rael.
Downtown Vancouver with a very talented singer-songwriter and producer. If you want to introduce yourself real quick, man.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Rael. Real name is Paulo Manga. And yeah, I've just been doing this thing for 4 years now. And yeah, I'm just right here with the homie Steve, bro.
All right, so I kind of already given a brief rundown. Okay, so you're a singer-songwriter, you're a producer. But let's just hear a little bit more kind of like the stuff that you do.
A little bit more of what I do. Well, I mean, I've gone as far as, you know, be part of like the YouTube scene when I started like back in 2011, I would say. And I did that for like a couple years, 2-3 years. And at that point, I was like literally trying to find myself as an artist, you know, not really having a background of music or not really being not having any like formal lessons. It was just really basically like a free-for-all, you know. I picked up a guitar like one day in high school and like I just taught myself, and you know, I just kind of like followed the whole cover game, and it was fun for a bit, but then it was kind of lacking, you know. It reached a bit of like a limit. Like there was like a glass ceiling above all of it, you know. But I mean, the experiences that I had like doing so, I mean, it made me grow even more every time that I did it. So now at this point, after like a year and a half hiatus, I decided to like really take music seriously and like write my own stuff, you know. And I'm trying to make my material as organic and authentic as possible without trying to hop on like some trends, like maybe a little bit just to kind of, you know, be part of the scene and like get people to like, you know, relate to it a little bit. But you know, it's a constant battle of trying to like be real with myself, you know. So that's where I'm at.
So you mentioned it was just one day picked up a guitar. Yeah. Maybe just randomly. So then how did that kind of like come to be? Like you're like really, what was your start?
I think it was in 2007. I was in grade 10 or grade 9 or something like that. And just one of my friends, it was her birthday. I think it was like on February or something, like close to like Valentine's or something. And she just told me, hey, like one of my favorite songs is Cater to You by by Destiny's Child, and there's like this cover of like this male version that I saw on YouTube. I think you should do it just do it for me. And I at the time I was literally like, yo, what the hell is YouTube? You know, like I don't even know, like I'm not really part of that scene. I never like really dove into it. So I checked it out, and like just as a favor for my friend, I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn the chords. I'm going to try and sing to my best ability. And so far, like as soon as I did that, the response was like great. I did it on a talent show, so, and then people were like, yo, why don't you just do this like from now on, like just keep doing the talent shows. And I, like at first I was a little bit hesitant about it, but I just kind of did it. You know what? I was like, what do I have to lose, right? So it just, that's what basically led to me like doing like the YouTube thing in the beginning. So that's my start.
So was that kind of like your switch moment when you decided, yo, I could do this for however long?
It's hard to say, because when it started, it was a bit of like a, it literally started as a hobby, you know. I was going to school for so many different things. I did prereqs for like dentistry, did interior design, public relations, and in all those years, it was just literally me having music on the side, not being like the main focus, you know. And especially like doing the YouTube thing, like I was so new to like the responses of like fans, you know, having like a pretty stable following on YouTube, you know, and like people kind of like listening in and like kind of demanding for songs, you know. And you know, I kind of bent backwards for it just to see how far I could take it. But the switching moment was literally when I made my first EP called Hybrid. The amount of work that I put into it, I can definitely say, like, with, you know, with the process of doing so, I didn't give my 100%, you know. It was more of like, okay, there's a scene going on. There's like a bit of hype towards like this trap music and like hip hop. So I was kind of like, I don't know, I was trying to adapt to society in that sense, but I wasn't being real with myself, you know. And after I released that, it kind of, you know, the numbers showed. Not many people like really supported it, and it was just kind of whatever. Immediately after that, I told myself, there's something wrong. I'm missing a formula. I'm missing a point with all this. And that was the turning point. And I decided to, yeah, have a year and a half off to just learn and know more about myself. That was the switching point.
Okay, so you've already touched on it. There was Hybrid, which was 2013.
Yeah.
And then now we have Muse. So now, you can kind of, I've played your songs on my show before,
yeah, okay.
So you know, you know, I just do what I can. So you know, I can safely say that the styles are really quite different.
Yes.
You know, if you listen to your first single, like if we say Angel,
yes.
For that matter, it's like it's a little more it's slick, it's polished, but then it did have kind of like that trendy feel that you touched on.
Right.
But then if we go into something like No Way or Take Time,
yes.
Then you know, it's something that's it's like it's a very change in the sound. Like what's the background behind Muse then?
You know what, the concept behind Muse wasn't premeditated, you know. A promise I made to myself was like, if I'm gonna be doing this music thing, I am not gonna force myself to do an album or a project just because I want to. Like, I mean, I could do that, but unless I have actually, like, something solid and something, like, really meaningful to say, I'm not going to do it, you know? And it just so happened, at that time, I was trying to conceptualize an album that I haven't, like, gone forward with. But along the way, it was just literally me living life. And what inspired Muse was just... it was an experience that I had with a girl, and it was just me being me. And the end story wasn't so—it wasn't like no fantasy or nothing, right? It ended up with me not being able to be with that person, and like there was a bit of conflict, just like normal stuff that I had to deal with, but in my own story, you know. And basically Muse is my ode to her. It's my way of like, you know, I understand why this can't work. I understand what's going on in your head and why you had to do these things and why I had to say a bunch of things that caused us to like, you know, separate. But is me basically saluting the fact that like, even though I went through this, I am still thankful it happened. And I mean, it's better to like put it out and like have a way to like express it as opposed to like, okay, feeling like crap about it and just like curling up in a ball in my room and like being sad and stuff, you know? So I decided to, you know, transfer that energy into making a project. And it just turned out like it worked so well. I did it in 5 months. And yeah, as soon as she came back, she heard it. And that's kind of all I like really aimed for. It was more of like an honest like cry for help. You know what I'm saying? Like my last little like goodbye. And so far, like people have responded to it in a surprising way. And like, I'm just happy it turned out the way it is, you know?
And Muse, your new EP, Muse, it came out in late 2015. And one thing that stood out to me about the production is that you used a lot of these very retro sounds. Like it had a very rustic feeling, but the good kind. You had like a really classic feel
like
to
vinyl,
it.
So to speak, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what was the thinking behind that? Like the inspiration, that sort of moment to.
Wow. Okay. This is the first time I'm actually going to talk about it. Basically, about the girl that I kind of fell in love with. The five tracks were supposed to symbolize all the places she's visited when she went to like Europe and Asia. So, not really like. Being specific, like a specific place per se, but just kind of like the feel, because like she went on like a backpacking trip and you know everyone knew where she was going because like social media and stuff, right? And I kind of like looked into that and I was trying to basically imagine how it would be if I were to be able to say these things while she was there, because you know what you don't know is not going to hurt you, right? But what I was going for is basically to try and like say through every moment, it's like these are the reasons why like I can't stop thinking about you. And it was just yeah, I guess the mood like caters to like where she went, you know. And I tried to make it sound realistic as possible, you know, as if she were there, because that's what's going on in my mind. Like all I really wanted was to like have that one, like all those five chances actually to kind of just say my piece, but these were words unsaid, right? And yeah, that's basically it.
Okay, that was part of the interview that I did with Rael. So we ended up talking, for a very long time, and the interview was a lot longer than the 10 minutes that you just heard. So if you do want to hear the full interview that I did, it will be up on my SoundCloud account. So go ahead and search it up. You can look me up on SoundCloud, just simply Steve Zhang, StevezHang. So as a sample of his work, we had touched on this in the interview. It's a track off his new EP, Muse. Now it's called No Way, and again, it displays this kind of this classic sound that he was working with, that retro feel, the use of natural and ambient sounds within the mix. And if you listen closely to this one, you can hear what really sounds like an old-school film projector. So it was mentioned in the interview that he says that it does feel kind of like old vinyl. And with this, he's mixing hip-hop and R&B. It's very smooth production, very smooth sound, very slick. So let's check it out now. Rael with No Way.
Can't you feel it? Everything is so beautiful and lovely and alive. You shouldn't say anything about anything not being. This is reality. Thank you.
smile on my face. An accident I used to keep my bed cleaner than my mental state. But what's the use? The foreign muse that was supposed to be my Cleopatra was all my Alexander. It didn't matter. Hit a ticking off the clock. How does it resonate you? Do it make it hold your breath like how I penetrate you? Listen, naturally I tend to act like I am Bruce Banner. Fell for a black widow who went to stroke on whose hammer? True glamour. I grew up, so fuck a screw up. Cause now I'm gunning for the line. Make sure I tie my shoes. I've got so many scars dripping when I wasn't walking. I'm about to roll past these bitches like I'm Jimmy. Ain't no fucking problem. Fucking ambitions, I'ma do me. Fuck the groupies, fuck the fame and the guap. And fuck the way you used to do me. Fuck the nights we by the couch. And fuck the days we went for sushi down to Mickey. Why you let the fucking goofy eat your coochie shit? I thought you were different. I thought you'd be mine. Don't say it's too late. Damn, I've run out of time. Don't say it's too late. Nothing's ever accidental. No way, there's no way.
CITR's annual fun drive is kicking off with a party at the Pit Pub in the Nest on February 25th at 6 p.m. There will be performances by Peach Pit, Melt, and Strumpets, and a raffle for rad prizes donated by AMS Events, Varsity Outdoor Club, and more. It's 19+, and tickets are available at the door for $5 or $3 with CITR membership. All proceeds go to FunDrive to help support your campus radio station.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
We are back here live on Asian Wave 101. I'm your host, Steve Zhang, for CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver from the UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. Now, right before the break, we heard No Way by Rael, and we listened to an interview that I did with the man himself. And if you missed that, once again, I'll have the full interview up on my SoundCloud. Just look for Steve Zhang, Stevezhang. Now, support local artists, support Canadian talent out there on their grind. It's what we love. We gotta support our fellow Canadians on whatever their endeavors may be. So, now that that's out of the way, I would like to say that it did get a little bit racy in that song, and hopefully that wasn't terribly, terribly pressing on people's, I guess you could say on their psyche. This was, sometimes people do have some issues with certain words, with certain language. And all in all, it was still a good song. Very slick production, very smooth sound. So definitely check out more of Ryle if you are interested in that. So next up, I have a song from South Korea, girl group Nine Muses. Their latest single called Sleepless Night. And it was produced by Brave Brothers. And stylistically, it has, again, a very similar to the song that we heard earlier. It has a very retro sort of feel, very pop. And it's something kind of like, it's something in the melody. It's kind of like it's kind of like cabaret. It has that sort of old-fashioned feel. And the lyrics, in the lyrics, they're describing the nights of loneliness, that feeling of solitude in the dark of night. Once you have someone there by your side, and now they're nowhere to be found. The full title of the song actually translates to "Can't sleep, am hungry." So essentially, it's delivering a message of really craving for love. So let's check it out. And after, we have Nico Sun from Taiwan with Black.
总是不满足一切事物，失恋就犹如弹囊取物，你要的幸福爱莫能助，飘渺的香味寻到何处，窗外的天空无止境的黑，的夜灯映着我狼狈，感情是痛过忧伤的罪，总会有一堆伤痕累累，逃出的路口我找不着北，对手是魔鬼总耐人寻味，退后是全都说我不配，别再来安慰是我还不够的天空无止境的黑，孤独的夜灯映射我狼狈，感情是捅破忧伤的嘴，总会有一堆伤痕累累，逃出的路口我找不着北，对手是魔鬼总耐人寻味，对后是全都说我不配，别再来安慰是我还不够，
That was Nine Muses with Sleepless Night, and after that was Nico Sun from Taiwan with Black. So Nico is a Taiwanese singer-dancer, and he's an idol in the more conventional sense. He is a young, good-looking guy who can sing and he can dance, he can bust out the choreography, and Black, to put it simply, Black is in a more pop ballad fashion, and the song is accompanied by some choreography if you watch the music video. So entertainers like Nico are a bit of a rare breed in Taiwan, and just Chinese language music in general. And it's just because the more popular musicians are composers, people who can write their own lyrics and compose their own songs, people like Jay Chou and also Wang Lihong. And it's kind of sad because the thing is that some producers within that industry have actually said in the past that dancing is for idols. If you want to be taken seriously as a musician, don't dance, just do your thing. So that is kind of sad because dancing is a form of expression. It's an art, and it can convey messages in music just as well as a well-composed piece. So if you do like his sound, if you do like Nico's sound, go and check him out. Allow him to serenade you with other songs like Black, in which he describes a time of reflection, how he describes himself as not having a real sense of direction or really understanding, fully understanding who he himself is as a person, and that he loved someone, but because of his flaws, they ultimately could not be together. So there's that. And now it is once again that time of the week where we check out just some of the latest news to come out of the Asian entertainment world. It's Asian Entertainment News. So first up, always a trending topic, Show Me the Money. The popular music survival show for aspiring rappers is back for a fifth season. This season sees the return of Doki and The Quiet as producers. Essentially, they're acting as judges, and after preliminary eliminations, they assemble a team of contestants under them and their label, and they help them with tracks to get audience votes. They're back after an absence from season 4 last year, but they were a team on season 3. Their team was crowned the champion of the season after Bobby of boy band Icon, who was on their team, won the title for the season. When asked about their standards for a good contestants and how they'll build a solid team, the two hip-hop stars responded, "Our requirements are simple. We will choose rappers who do their own thing and know what they're doing." They added, "We're fully confident as we won season 3. The other judges and producers have yet to be announced." So Show Me the Money. There is so much to say about this show. Ultimately, you could point to it as being one of the sources of hip-hop music's rising popularity in South Korea. Some people have also criticized it because they're commercializing an art form that a lot of people have respect for, especially a lot of underground rappers who kind of look at that show and think, the judges and the contestants don't really seem to know what they're doing. So some criticisms coming from a more kind of questioning the authenticity. And also a lot of people have criticized Show Me the Money for being highly misogynistic, partially because it's just such a male-dominated show. There are female contestants. Female contestants are allowed on the show. They've competed, and they do get selected. But ultimately, even when they have their initial pool of, say, 100 contestants, very few of them are female. And then the ones that make it even further beyond that, they're even rarer. So very male-dominated, Show Me the Money. And that's why, ultimately, they actually came up with Unpretty Rap Star, because Unpretty Rap Star is, in its essence, it's the female version of Show Me the Money. So next, some more news on on Asian entertainment, but this time from China and involving film. The new Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon film. The sequel to the iconic Ang Lee-directed movie Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon has been released. The movie titled Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny is set 20 years after the events of the previous film. Michelle Yeoh, one of the stars of the first film, reprised her role, and she is joined by Donnie Yen as a completely new character, described as the silent wolf of the film. Yuan Wuping directed this new film, and he is also the action choreographer for Yen's first action film 3 decades ago. And of the film, Donnie said, "Actually, the team had been inviting me for years to join the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2 project, but I can't make up my mind before they decide on the director. To me, the name itself is like a brand already. Since the first one was such a success with an Oscar award, I felt challenged to provide my best performance in the movie, especially without director Ang Lee this time. But then the producer says, my teacher is going to direct, and that's what changed my mind." So this film is actually one of the first films, if not the first film, that was also released directly to Netflix in conjunction with being released in theaters. So as a result of that move, some theaters actually refused to carry the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon film. And it's a big issue that we will address at a different time. But there is a lot of excitement surrounding this film. Again, it is already out. I have not had a chance to see it myself yet, but I know some other people who are also very excited. And this is something that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon became the sort of icon in Chinese film because I wouldn't say a revolution, but because it was such a famous film, one of the first Chinese films to get the Academy Award, it kind of became a bit of a craze. It kind of increased the profile of Chinese film overseas. So we'll leave it at that for now, and then we are going to take a quick break, and we will have some more news next time. But for now, again, quick break, and when we come back, we have more music on Asian Wave 101. Take care. We'll be right back.
Do you like friends? Well, we like you. So become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends downtown, like 10% off at Bang On T-shirts, Beat Street Records, Studio Records, Community Thrift and Vintage, The Fall Tattooing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
We're back here live on Asian Wave 101 for CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Steve Zhang. Thanks so much for joining me on this actually quite nice Wednesday afternoon live in the city of Vancouver from the UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. Next up, some more music. We have Della Wu, also known as Ding Dong, who is a Chinese singer based in Taiwan, with a good old ballad with that old familiar melody, the soothing piano that dominates the song. And quite frankly, the standout portion of this track is Della's voice, always very, very strong. But for this one, she is going for a softer sort of treatment. And the lyrics of this one seem very common to Chinese music in general. She's essentially singing, kind of conveying a little bit of joy and a little bit of surprise to because she's finding out that the one, was always there, right beside her, always lending a helping hand, always keeping a watchful eye on her, and just always being there despite her not really kind of understanding or really noticing at first. So it's kind of announcing that surprise and her willingness to really allow her heart to open up at this point. So let's check it out. Again, this is something a little bit more common to Chinese music, but always something very soothing. It's the one that provides comfort, and that's really what ballads are all about, especially ones from China, because if there's anything that can be said about Chinese music, it's that they do ballad music extremely, extremely well. So that's coming up next, Della with You Were Always There.
Let's 见钟情的爱，一定就是爱。原来你在等待，等我找我回来，原来你都在，原来一路走来，原来是你慷慨，原来是宠爱，原来自由自在，原来是在等待。
That was De La Wu with the old familiar sound with 原来你都在, you have always been here. Something very soothing for this very chill and very relaxed Wednesday afternoon. Something to kind of ease the pressure and the tensions and just having all those musical notes and those sensations just wash over you and just relieving you for just even a moment. And that's something that a good ballad can really do. And if, again, if there's anything that Chinese music is known for, it's definitely their ballads. If you like her sound, she's definitely one of the best female vocalists active right now. You can check out more of her. She goes by De La Wu, D-E-L-L-A-W-U, or simply as Ding Dong, which is essentially the sound of what a bell makes. And she does have a very clear voice, like a very clear note of a bell. So the next song that I have is something that is a huge shift from what we just heard from Della. It's by Korean R&B singer Dean, and the song is called I'm Not Sorry, featuring Alec Bellinger, who is, of course, one of the most popular singer-songwriters in R&B and hip-hop music active right now. Now, they collaborated on this track, and that's the thing about Dean, actually. He's not afraid to go outside of the box a little bit, to collaborate with these artists who you may not hear about a whole lot or even get a whole lot of exposure if he was just simply in Korea. He's worked with people like Anderson .Paak and Jeff Burnett, and a lot of these Myla J, even a lot of these singers who are fairly well known in the States or out here in the West, but aren't really that popular in Korea. And he works with them, and he creates these songs that kind of transcend these barriers that of language and culture. And it's just something that, because it's kind of like this international thing, you can kind of connect with it in a way that, again, transcending barriers and going past all of these things that in the end are always just superficial, and just creating good music for people to enjoy. That's really what he does. And if you have seen some of the stuff that Dean posts on his social media, he's quite an artistic guy. He cares a lot about that sort of stuff, and he puts a lot of effort into his music. And again, just to recap, he is completely unafraid to work with these other artists. He is unafraid to break the meta and do something a little bit adventurous. So Dean is the one who sings first on this track, and then he's followed by Alec Bellinger. And to kind of separate the two, Dean has a bit more of a rasp to his voice, so keep an ear open for that. So I'm Not Sorry by Dean featuring Alec Bellinger coming up next.
Tell me, how could I miss giving you everything you deserve? You know I'll be doing the most while you be back at home. I promise, baby, it could be worse. I'm out here getting my money every day, sunny day. Season on flame, I know. Telling my chef to hurry up and wait. Go, go, people like go, go. Gonna hit that road. Shoot. You
you in the solo, I'm taking photos to post. Woo! I know you feel crazy now. Said I forgot about missing you. I've been too busy out getting my yike, bro. I ain't got time to be thinking about you. I've been on your mind, true. 20 racks on my wrist, still I ain't got time for you. Homegirls looking at me like, what's up, what's up, what's good, what's good? Where you at right now? How long will you be on my side of town? Chilling in E-Taiwan, take a look at my passport now. I've been getting that money. Woo. I ain't trying to hurt you, but I gotta keep it 100. Yeah. The whole world know me now. Girl, I ain't frontin', I'm really startin', just speakin' the truth. Girl, you be lying if you said you don't see me now. Watch me gone and act a fool. Hear me when I say. I'm not sorry, baby. I'm not sorry, 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 I'm not sorry, baby.
That was Dean featuring Eric Bellinger, I'm Not Sorry, displaying this very trendy sort of R&B sound, something that is that mainstream sound that you kind of hear these days, which is sort of like this fusion of trap music and R&B, which they deliver with very, very strong vocals. So again, you can tell that Dean is definitely someone who is not comfortable with just sticking to what's safe, with what's accepted. He's working with these other artists, he is making his music, he's diversifying his sound, and he's bringing attention to really what's these different styles in a place where these specific styles aren't really that common in South Korea. It's rare to hear kind of this this fusion trap and B, if that's the term that we could use. This fusion of these two very distinct styles, making something very hard hitting, very, very powerful, and delivering it with the same. With the same strength in their vocals, but with a certain precision. So definitely go and check out more of Dean. Definitely, definitely a talent to keep an eye on. So moving on, though, this next song is something that's equally smooth, but a little bit on the more slick, jazzy sort of side. So this is actually coming in as a request. Now, this person asked me, hey, Steve, could you play more of that Khalil Fong person? I've been hearing some of this stuff. I don't really care which song you play. I'm loving his material. Please play some more on air. So that's actually coming in from Leo. Thank you so much, Leo, for the request. And I figured, why not? You like some Khalil. I like Khalil. So let's bring in an old favorite called BB88, BB Baba, from his 2012 album Wonderland. So it's fairly common knowledge now to listeners of Asian Wave 101 that a lot of Chinese music or Chinese language music is it's their love songs. So we see kind of the joyous moments, the sad moments, but not really the sort of moment that Khalil is describing. This one, BB Baba, is a breakup song. Despite sounding very, very cheery, very upbeat, it is a breakup song. So essentially, he's talking to his ex-girl by saying, okay, you know, sometimes I do something, you don't like it, you get in my face, you get angry, I can't even do things without you breathing down my neck, so you know what, BB, Baba, because the title of the song is actually kind of like text shorthand or internet lingo, if you will. BB, which is very common in instant chats, which means baby. And then Baba is something that we use in China and other Chinese-speaking areas, because Baba kind of sounds like bye-bye. So essentially, he's saying baby, bye-bye. So let's check it out now. Khalil Fong with BB88. That was Khalil Fong with BB Baba, an oddly cheerful and upbeat breakup song. But there you have it. He's the sort of person who can express what he's feeling in however way he wishes. So if you do like more of Khalil's sound, definitely go and check out some more of his work. Rumor has it that he has another album in the works to be released very, very soon. So keep an ear open and an eye out for that. So that will actually take us to the end of the show. Coming up next is your weekly arts report. They're coming in here talking about some more cool happenings in the local art scene. But before I sign off, I do have to mention that next week CITR will be holding its annual fund drive. It's our annual fundraiser where we raise funds to help support the station and to really kind of keep what we have here growing and keeping it strong. This year, the theme for Fun Drive is growing our cultures. So basically, they're putting the money towards supporting the different cultures and the training of volunteers to better portray those cultures and represent the different sounds and the different voices that we have on the airwaves here at CITR. So if you have any questions about that, don't hesitate to send an email my way. I can help you out with something. Or if you want to learn how you yourself can get involved or support Asian Wave 101 and CITR, send me a message, asianwave101@gmail.com. If you have a request for me at all, don't hesitate to send it my way, asianwave101@gmail.com. So the last song that I have for you is by Brave Girls. Now, they're a girl group from Korea that was put together by Brave Brothers, Brave Sound Entertainment. So the very, very well-known producer put together his own girl group and just so happened to name it after himself. So they ran into some trouble about a year and a half, about maybe I'd say in 2014. They ran into some troubles and they took a bit of an extended break. And originally they had 5 members, now they have 7. 3 members left and they brought in 5 other ones. So of the original lineup, only two members are left. And with their recent comeback, they really decided to revamp their image and completely change their concept as a group. So we're familiar with the preppy, the girly, the cutesy sort of sound and the look, but we are not really that accustomed to hearing a more urban sound and seeing a more urban look from girl groups in South Korea. And that's exactly what they're going for. So this song, which is called... it's called Deepened in English. And to put it simply, this is the only thing you have to remember: Thirsty for Love. So this song, it has kind of like that same trendy R&B feel that Eric Bellinger and Dean delivered with I'm Not Sorry earlier. So let's check it out now. It's actually very interesting. You know, for their vocal tone, they actually really managed to carry it quite well. It's quite a musical ride, let's just say that. So that will do it for this week's Asian Wave 101. So thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that interview that I did with Rael. Again, if you want to check out the whole thing, look me up on SoundCloud, Steve Zhang, STEVEZHANG. Thank you so much for tuning in to Asian Wave 101 on CITR 101.9 FM from the UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory in the beautiful city of Vancouver. Once again, coming up next is your weekly arts report, and I will talk to you next time during the Fun Drive, and I will have a very, very special show for you. Take care until then, and I'll talk to you next time.
Better. Yeah. You're better than me. You're better than me. Welcome to the Arts Report. I am your host, Ashley Park, and today we have a lot of cool things for you. We're just going to give you a quick review. We have a live interview in studio today, and this is Opera Mariposa. We have stage director Adam Daross, and he is going to be directing Terrence McNally's masterclass for Opera Mariposa. And welcome to the studio, Adam.
Thank you.
And Adam, I want to ask a little bit about Opera Mariposa. You guys are doing a major expansion for a